You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. Call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. If you're watching in the live stream, leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very full show for you today. Don't forget, two more days to go for the green or gold statewide text to win contest. Right after the 11 o'clock news, next hour, we will have the word that you need to text in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to get you in the running for either $100 in cash or gold jewelry. Everyone in the running for some really nice tickets. You get a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. So be listening right after the 11 o'clock news.
Do I just text into my phone willy-nilly? Do I need something to do that?
You would need to go to wherever you get your apps, Greg Bach.
And then I'm going to get an app?
From Civic Media.
Civic Media has its own app?
It does, and it's free.
Oh, wow.
And I was able to download it all by my lonesome.
Folks, you don't know how easy it makes it then.
Right? What an accomplishment that is.
Yeah.
So you got an hour, little under an hour to download the Civic Media app. And then you can take part in the contest. It's a lot of fun, and it's very, very easy. We just need you to text in a word. We have many guests coming up today. Excited in the next half hour, our chief engineer, and he's also meteorologist, Corey Hartman, is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about Hurricane Helene, which every time I look at the news, the reports get worse.
Yeah.
They're talking about a 20-foot storm surge.
Which doesn't seem like it. That
it's called. They say that is not survivable.
That's exactly what I was
yes.
going for. Yeah,
it's unsurvivable.
Oh, yeah,
and one of the reasons why we're bringing this up is because everyone's favorite Project 2025 has very specific things they would like to see happen to the National Weather Service.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is to privatize everything for companies like AccuWeather, and this is nothing against AccuWeather. But I'm fairly certain that all those private weather companies get their data from the National Weather Service. That's how they build their models.
Yeah.
Corey will tell me if I'm wrong. He's a meteorologist. He knows the inner workings. So we'll be talking about hurricanes and floods and fires and what Project 2025 would do to our National Weather Service and what that would mean for us.
Yeah.
If you're traveling, it would not be good. Also, kind of in the weather vein, next hour, Brittany Merlot will be here with Weather and Wine.
The weather vein?
I didn't even know I did that.
My goodness, Jane.
Brittany Merlot will be here with Weather and Wine. We'll see what's coming up for us in Wisconsin. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, will be here to talk all things sports at 11:33. And we will wrap up the show, as we are every day now, with a segment called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is from the world of technology and the robot uprising that's apparently coming soon.
Yeah.
That's all on the way. We're going to start off, though, by talking about the economy. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Pittsburgh yesterday. She released an 81-page economic policy book tied to her speech.
Yeah.
And in her speech, she put them into three pillars: lowering costs, investing in American innovation, and leading the world in industries of tomorrow. She said she will help remove barriers to economic opportunity and identify common sense solutions to help Americans buy a home, start a business, and build wealth. So we've already heard, you may not have heard about this, but she has talked about this before, a proposal to give first-time home buyers $25,000 in down payment assistance. That's huge. That's a big sticking point for a lot of people, is just coming up with that down payment.
Yeah.
$25,000 is a big chunk of money.
Yeah. That's almost, I don't want to say it's impossible, but even when we bought a house, our mortgage broker would say, like, you can't worry about that. Just
not having enough for a huge down payment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it means a bunch of things, and you know, you have to get PMI, you're paying more, there's a lot longer before you see that principal start to come down.
Yeah.
But it's just so difficult that now people who are 5 years, 10 years younger than me are like, I'm never getting a house.
I'm never gonna be able to afford one.
Yeah.
So this would be a good thing. She's also proposed increasing the small businesses startup tax credit tenfold to $50,000 and also a $6,000 child tax credit for the first year of a newborn's life. She said her plan invests in strengthening the middle class to allow the middle class to be the growth engine of the economy. Calvin, do we have that clip ready? No, we don't. She did point out that under the Trump administration, America lost thousands of manufacturing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
All told, almost 200,000 manufacturing jobs were lost under Donald Trump starting before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Making Trump one of the biggest losers ever on manufacturing. Mark Cuban, if we're familiar with Mark Cuban.
Oh, yeah.
He owns
the Dallas Mavericks. The
Dallas Mavericks basketball team.
He also started that.
Cost Plus Drugs.
Yes.
I'm familiar with Cost Plus Drugs. I use that.
Nice. Okay. Well, I want to talk about that with you another time.
Okay.
Very curious, but go on.
He was also there in Pittsburgh, and then he did quite a bunch of rounds on Fox, on MSNBC, and he was on a lot of the TV shows explaining why he prefers Kamala Harris over Donald Trump as far as handling the economy. And one of the things that he said that I thought was really interesting, he said, look at what she has put together. If as a businessman, I look at what she has managed to put together in what, 60 days?
Yes.
As far as her campaign and the policy proposals and all of those things. He said that to me, that tells me she's very efficient.
Yeah.
That she can get this done and get this all together and up and running. And he also pointed out that when Kamala Harris talks about economic policies, tariffs, things like that, she doesn't need other people in her campaign to come back and explain what it meant. Yeah. Unlike Donald Trump, who he'll come out and say these things.
Yeah.
And then he has to send his people around to say, well, this is what he meant. Because Mark Cuban essentially said, Donald Trump does not grasp a lot of these concepts.
No.
And cannot explain them.
No.
He, you know, somebody gives him the talking points and he goes out and does that. But a follow-up question, I would just like someone to ask him how tariffs work.
Oh, Jane.
I know.
That's adorable.
That's a big ask.
Well, there's two things that come to mind with this. One is that, you know, for a long time now, we've seen the rhetoric of, I'm a businessman. I'm going to run the country, the state, the municipality, whatever you want to rule. I want to run it like a business. It's, well, that's not how
governments work.
Bureaucracy.
No.
That's not how it works. So stop that right there. So the fact that Mark Cuban, who runs a business, many businesses, is coming at it from a businessman's story. It's a businessman giving his viewpoint on how politics works. So the fact that he, as a very successful entrepreneur, is saying, I like the way she does things because they're smart and they're laid out and she explains them, I think says a lot about the notion of, I want to run this government like a business. But also, when Kamala Harris says, I'm coming to your town today and I'm going to talk about the economy, jobs, and the things I want to accomplish as president, she then talks about economy, jobs, and the things she wants to get done as president versus Donald Trump, I'm coming to your city to talk about jobs. You know, I should have got the Nobel Peace Prize.
He did that. That happened yesterday.
I should have got Barack Obama got it, but I should have gotten it because I should have gotten it because I get things. And
he stood in. It's a small manufacturing company because I don't know that he's having a tough time filling big venues.
It happens that sometimes it's people's ages.
But he went out and talked again about how he should have gotten the Nobel Peace Prize, but Barack Obama got it right after he got into office, and he doesn't understand why, but it doesn't really bother him that he didn't get it.
That's why I'm going to bring it up.
That exactly. And he's brought it up numerous times over the years.
Yeah.
Numerous times. So obviously, Donald, it doesn't bother you.
Not
at all.
No.
Not at all.
No. Especially like the size of your crowds doesn't bother you, or the fact that they're leaving early and getting bored and tired doesn't bother him at all. He's a tough boy.
He's a tough guy.
And by the way, I would recommend watching Mark Cuban's interview for all those who haven't yet on The Daily Show a couple weeks ago. It's a very good talk between he and Jon Stewart. Him and Jon Stewart.
I bet.
Very, very good discussion.
Michaela from West Bend, listening on WAUK, texted in for clarification. I believe it is for first-generation home buyers, not first-time home buyers.
Oh.
We'll double-check on that, Michaela. Thank you for pointing that out.
Okay.
Brendan from New Jersey is on the line. Good morning, Brendan. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
I just wanted to say that, you know, I mean, it's so obvious. This is the Trump MO. He needed the knuckleheads that wrote Project 2025 so he wouldn't have to think about anything. I mean, let's face it. I mean, he had his cabinet write this whole plan out.
Yep.
And so he doesn't have to think about anything, and then he can deny. But really, he just wants to step back in the office and have everybody, all his little minions, spineless minions, doing what he wants them to do.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, he doesn't really want to do the work, Brendan, right? He likes the perks that come with the office. He likes the deference that comes with being president of the United States. He loves those things. He loves Air Force One. He loves all the trappings of being the president, but he doesn't really want to do any work. And in case folks have forgotten, he golfed nearly an entire year. He went golfing like 327 days in the 4 years of his term. He golfed almost an entire year while people were dying of COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, and he also deserves more credit for how great they handled COVID, by the way.
Of course he does.
He said that yesterday,
yeah,
too.
Of course.
All the best people update. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. What else to do about it? Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We haven't done this in a while, but after the news that broke yesterday, I think it's worth it. And all the best people update, Donald Trump always said that when he was elected, he would surround himself by all the best people, and all the best people include a lot of the folks who have written Project 2025, a lot of his supporters, like the Congressman Clay Higgins from Louisiana. He made a splash yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This is what House Speaker Mike Johnson, also one of the best people in my estimation, big supporter of Donald Trump. This is what House Speaker Mike Johnson said about Clay Higgins. After you hear this clip, then we're going to hear what Clay Higgins tweeted yesterday. Take a listen.
Any comment on the tweet that Clay Higgins put out today about Haitians?
I heard about that on the floor just now as well. Clay Higgins is a dear friend of mine and a colleague from Louisiana and a very frank and outspoken person. He's also a very principled man. And I think he tweeted, I didn't even see it, but he tweeted something today about Haitians, and he was He was approached.
Okay.
Well, look, he was approached on the floor by colleagues who said that was offensive. He went to the back. I just talked to him about it. He said he went to the back and he prayed about it and he regretted it and he pulled the post down. That's what you want a gentleman to do. I'm sure he probably regrets some of the language he used, but you know, we move forward. We believe in redemption around here.
How nice,
Jane. What did Clay Higgins say that a gentleman would pray upon and then take down the post? I mean, it couldn't have been that bad.
Well, this is apparently in response to, there is a Haitian nonprofit in Springfield, Ohio, that has filed a suit against Donald Trump and J.D. Vance for targeting their community and smearing them with lies.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Clay Higgins' response, a principled person, obviously a good Christian.
Good Christian.
Good Christian.
Dear friend of Mike Johnson.
This is what Clay Higgins tweeted. LOL, these Haitians are wild. Eating pets, voodoo, nastiest country in the Western Hemisphere, cults, slapstick gangsters, but damned if they don't feel all sophisticated now, filing charges against our president and VP. All these thugs better get their mind right and their ass out of our country before January 20th. So Mr. Higgins was approached on the House floor yesterday by the head of the Congressional Black Caucus.
Yeah.
And apparently, he told him he had no intention of taking it down.
But Jane, I thought he prayed on it. I thought he went in the back room and prayed.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says the comments are vile, racist, and beneath the dignity of the United States House of Representatives, and that he must be held accountable. They are inciting hate. They are inciting fear. I am not a person of faith. I have many friends who are. I cannot imagine how upsetting something like this is for people of faith to see it used in this way against innocent people who are being smeared. And if Clay Higgins had to pray about it, and he's such a good principled man, that didn't inform your thoughts as you were writing out this tweet? When you went back and looked at it, did Jesus ever cross your mind then? Apparently not.
No, Jesus is apparently too liberal with his love everyone. Treat everyone like you want to be treated. Love thy brother. Clothe the naked. Help the poor. You know, house the homeless. That's a weak Jesus.
Representative Steve Horsford, a Democrat from Nevada, moved to censure Higgins on the House floor early last evening. Horsford told reporters he had spoken to Higgins earlier, and Higgins said he would not remove the post. He didn't, in my view, show any remorse, didn't understand how his rhetoric is contributing to the feeling of people being harassed and threatened and feeling unsafe in their own communities. And that's why I asked him to remove the post. He actually told me no, he would not. And that's when we started the action on the floor. So it wasn't informed by his Christianity.
No.
It wasn't informed by respect out of his colleagues. It was because the heat was getting so hot that they might have censured him, and he didn't want that.
I mean, there's a part of me now that's like, oh, coward, couldn't even stand behind your words and take a censure, which, by the way, for those who don't know what that is, that's a slap on the wrist. It's you're not thrown in the office.
It does nothing.
You're not docked pay. Nothing happens other than, hey, that was not nice what you did there.
Andrew from Maine texting in, why didn't Higgins pray before he posted so his God could sign off on it? That's kind of what I think, Andrew. Liz from Saukville, Trump has exposed racism in our country. It is sad and disgusting. I'm glad the Haitians are going to try and hold Trump and Vance legally accountable.
As they should.
As they should.
This is disgusting, and it's shameful.
And it's putting people in danger.
And also, shame on you, Mike Johnson, for not even standing up saying that was, the very least you could have said, it wasn't a smart thing to do. I didn't read the tweet. You're the Speaker of the U.S. House. You read the tweet. You knew the tweet.
He was asked about something else the other day, something horrific. It might have been Mark Robinson, or it was one of the allegations of another one of the House members who hired his mistress or his fiance's daughter for a position for which she's not qualified, and then also gave his mistress a job. And Mike Johnson was asked about that, and he said, oh, I don't know anything about that. I'm very, very busy. I'm very, very busy.
Shame on you, Mike Johnson. Shame on you as a politician, as a Christian, as a human. You're disgusting.
I feel badly for folks of faith.
Yeah.
I do. I feel badly for you to see your firmly held religious beliefs used in this way. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
All the best people.
You know, Clay Higgins and Mike Johnson, both big Donald Trump supporters, all the best people. Like Johnny McEntee.
Oh, I could talk about him for days and also clutch my stomach as I got sicker and sicker while doing it.
We have news coming up next. When we return, we are going to be talking about Hurricane Helene, floods, fires, and Project 2025's plan to dismantle and privatize NOAA, and how that's going to affect us, all of us, every day. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Kalinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. We're very excited to have a guest in studio with us. I will introduce you in just a moment. First, though, a reminder right after the 11 o'clock news, our Go for the Green or Gold statewide text to win contest continues. Make sure you have the Civic Media app. Right after the 11 o'clock news, we will tell you the word of the hour that you want to text in using the app. And that gets you in the running for either $100 in cash or some nice gold jewelry. Mm. Everyone, though, in the grand prize drawing for a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. We play this game every weekday, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and it ends tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
It ends tomorrow. That's when the big vote count will come in.
The free and fair vote count.
Completely and totally free.
Yes.
I have Michael Gabelman on retention just in case something goes wrong. It's all going to be fine. As we mentioned, we have a special guest in studio with us, Civic Media's chief engineer and doer of so many things.
Doer of things.
Corey Hartman is here. Good morning.
Thank you
for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you in the human flesh.
Yes, you as well.
One of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you, Corey, of course, we have Hurricane Helene, which is bearing down on Florida right now.
Yeah.
And the projections just keep getting worse. Calvin, let's play that clip from ABC News, please, about Hurricane Helene.
The forecast for Pasco County north of Tampa is for a 10-foot storm surge.
This is incredibly dangerous,
says County Administrator Mike Carballo.
That's why we've issued evacuation orders along Pasco County's coast.
Those planning to stay are boarding up their windows.
They will not withstand 110 mile-an-hour winds.
Will Glenn lives in Crawfordsville. A 110 mile-an-hour wind would be a Category 2 hurricane. Helene is forecast to reach Category 4 status before making landfall.
That's Jim Ryan from ABC News. Mm-hmm. Now the storm surge I'm seeing is, the last I saw was 20 feet.
So this storm has a whole lot of things going on with it, right? So not everybody's going to see 110, 120 mile per hour winds. That'll just be in the very center core, in the eye wall. But tropical storm force winds are already on shore in the southwest part of the Florida Peninsula.
Yep.
So in addition to that, the storm surge, as you've been talking about, that's going to be in the northeast quadrant of the storm. That's where it's onshore flow, and it's taking all of that water and just shoving it right into the big bend of Florida. And this is probably the the second or third hurricane to go into there in the last couple of years. So we've, you know, I run a storm chasing company, Severe yep. Studios, and I've got chasers, storm chasers who are in Florida right now, prepping for this, trying to find places where they can stay safe during landfall. There's no safe place for residents along the coast here. 15 to 20 feet. Okay. That's like a 2.5 story office building of water
over your head,
Right. Jeez. So that, you know, the Hurricane Center has said that it's unsurvivable. They're putting all these words out there. It really is to scare people, because it takes about 6 or 8 notifications or qualifications for people before they take action on something.
Before they start paying attention. Yep. I don't know that I've ever seen unsurvivable before.
Catastrophic, unsurvivable. These are the words that the National Weather Service and you know, its other agencies have started putting into those products, because we literally find that people are just too busy to pay attention.
Do you find that people, you said 6 to 8 notifications, is it because, mm-hmm. you know, I've lived in Florida my whole yes. life, and it's quote unquote, this is fine, or something, just we can deal with it.
We survived the last one.
Yeah. It's never come through here. There's there's an Indian burial ground off to the west, and there's a river and a lake and a hill and a mountain, and weather doesn't care
yeah.
about any of that stuff. And all the wives' tales of why you've never had a tornado somewhere, or why you've never had this, that, or the other thing. It can happen anywhere. I've seen video of tornadoes 30,000 feet in the Rocky Mountains. Tornadoes at the top of a mountain. So it doesn't care about your little hill.
Nature's not particularly superstitious.
No.
Yeah, she's not very superstitious.
Are you telling me I'm not as smart as meteorology people and nature? Wow. But I feel insulted.
Going back to that 20-foot storm surge,
yeah.
and I don't know if it was NOAA who put it out, but I have seen video graphics where people, they have a reporter standing in what is ostensibly a
sure.
road,
sure.
and then they show what 5 feet of storm surge looks like. Then you get to 6, then you get to 8, you get to, by 8 feet, it's already over your head.
Yeah, that's the Weather Channel and their immersive graphics.
Which
that
is really, you should check it out.
I have checked it out.
I mean, just to the people who are listening.
But yes.
I'm Corey, have you heard of
She's shaking
the
her
weather
finger
channel.
At me.
I highly encourage people to take a look at that, though, because it really brings home
yeah.
what this does.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, the nice thing also about the Weather Channel, not to give them a million free plugs, but, you know, that's where our video is seen. You know, we have a partnership with the Weather Channel. We've worked with them for almost 20 years
wow.
now, if you can believe that. And they take our live feeds from our chasers.
Oh, cool.
And put them on the air. So a lot of times when you see the live storm surge and you see the live, you know, roofs being ripped off and those kinds of things, that's coming from my team. So, you know, we're all over it and we're watching it. And, you know, the latest, I mean, this is just a scary looking hurricane. Oops. And then of course I scrolled away from it, but I mean, that is just a healthy,
wow.
healthy
wow,
looking
is, wow.
hurricane.
Just, yeah. That's huge.
Put that in the, oh, there we go. There we go. There we go. My goodness. If you're watching on the live stream right now, that just looks like the eye of Sauron.
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's not great. And you know, this was only a potential tropical cyclone like 2 days ago. I mean,
look what it's turned into.
It went from literally a slight low pressure system
mm-hmm.
to what could possibly be a Cat 3 or even a Cat 4 when it hits landfall. The water is so warm right now.
Is yeah. that what does it?
It's jet fuel.
Okay.
It's jet fuel
it just
for this hurricane.
It just feeds it.
Yep.
Well, the reason I wanted to bring you in, because of your extensive knowledge and because you are a meteorologist, Project 2025, which kind of like J.D. Vance has the popularity slightly above genital warts, I think. But Project 2025 has opinions and plans for what they would do to NOAA.
Mm.
These include break it up. Break up NOAA. Together, NOAA forms a colossal operation that's one of the main drivers of the climate change alarm industry.
The climate change hoax.
And is therefore yep. harmful to future U.S. prosperity.
It's harmful to future, you know, business prosperity.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The plan also, in Project 2025, that the forecasts provided by private companies like AccuWeather are more accurate than those provided by the National Weather Service.
It is right in their name, AccuWeather. Right?
So Project 2025 says the National Weather Service should fully commercialize its forecasting operations or enter partnerships in order to sell its data. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Where do AccuWeather and other companies like that get their forecast models from, Corey?
From NOAA.
No kidding.
Yes. From the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the National Weather Service. Most of them. Now, IBM, there's qualifiers to everything, right?
Sure.
IBM runs their own, can't remember what it's called, Big Blue Marble or something like that. And a few other WSI, the weather company, they run their own models. But the data that feeds the models all comes from the sensors owned by the National Weather Service. So if you privatize it, and this comes up even outside of something like Project 2025, about every 3 or 4 years, and it's usually AccuWeather that's pushing this. So it's no surprise that they're involved with trying to privatize it because it would mean more money to them. They already issue their own tornado warnings. They already issue a whole bunch of things for their own paid clients, like railways and transportation. And, you know, they've done some good things. They've stopped trains from driving into F4s in Kansas.
That's good.
That's a good thing. But they are definitely one of the ones behind privatize. And I think the key to what you're saying here is that a majority of the data is provided for free, by the way, almost zero cost of entry. I could have a satellite dish and a $500 receiver and get all the same data that AccuWeather does that they use to do whatever it is that they do with it. Cost them nothing. We've paid for it as taxpayers.
And it comes from NOAA.
There was a great, Last Week Tonight covered this, did a really great episode on it. And whenever I hear Republicans go on about privatization, sell it off, break it up, I always just think about when I worked in the city of Racine, and we looked, and proponents of this always say, it'll just be better. It'll just be better if
we privatize it.
Everything. Because that's what they, because as we were saying earlier, companies know how to get things done. Governments don't. Well, in Racine, we thought about privatizing our garbage pickup. We found out that not only was it going to cost us nearly $10,000 more a year, which is a lot of money, we couldn't be guaranteed the same quality work that we could demand of the people who work for the city. Because it's privatized, it's their problem. And it's your problem to call them because we don't do it anymore. And it's a sorry. So this whole, every time I hear privatized, I think a garbage pickup in Racine, and that it's never a guarantee that this will be better or more or advantageous for the people.
And these weather models they're helping, obviously, the general public stay safe by making better forecasts.
Right.
We are so far, I mean, you've seen the growth in the tech industry and in healthcare industry, and how everything kind of turns over about every, what is it, 2 or 3 years now. You can throw away the medical book and get a whole new one. That's really where we are with forecasting. Now, AccuWeather also has a 75-day forecast. And if you think that's accurate, then I got a bridge to sell you in Arizona, right?
So 75 days?
I don't know. It's some crazy amount. It started with a 30-day forecast, and they just keep sending it out there. Anything still today over about 6 days is wish casting. So even your local TV, we've got our Channel 10 10-day forecast, our Channel 13 13-day forecast. Most of that is strictly climate and guessing. So I wouldn't trust the forecast past 3 days, and I'm a guy who does the 3-day forecast.
Well, stay tuned after Corey. We're going to have your forecast in 2041.
your 10-year forecast.
Steve from Sparta is on the line. You can always join us, 855-752-4842. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling in. What'd you want to say?
Yeah, pretty much I was going to just talk about just what you guys are all talking about. Definitely big money, big oil. They want to have anything to do with NOAA. Climate change, it's all tied in.
Appreciate that, Steve. Thank you very much. Yeah, Matthew Sanders is a lecturer at Stanford Law School, the acting deputy director of the Environmental Law Clinic. says to propose undercutting, breaking up, and quote-unquote streamlining NOAA is really an effort to block and make less available information about climate change in order to serve an agenda of climate change denial.
Sure, because then you don't have to release any of that data.
Yeah, and the classic example now is when the hurricane was hitting during the Trump administration, and he had the map, and he personally drew with a black Sharpie marker,
yep,
and got in trouble because it was giving disinformation out.
Mm-hmm.
If they do that to NOAA, if NOAA even exists, it will no longer be, well, you can't do that. It will be, well, the president said that hurricane's going there, so that's what's happening. Make it
right.
happen.
Well, and as we've talked about before, the whole thing with Project 2025 is every policy has to support the administration's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. And we're going to continue this conversation. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our friend and Civic Media chief engineer and meteorologist and just doer of things, Corey Hartman, is with us live in studio. I wanted to talk about NOAA and Project 2025's plans to dismantle and privatize NOAA, especially now as we have Hurricane Helene bearing down on Florida big time, talking about 20-foot storm surge.
It's always the best timing when they bring this stuff up, right?
Right?
There's like these massive events happening, mudslides, hurricanes, all of this stuff, and that's when the plans to dismantle come out.
Yeah, yeah. Jim from Appleton texting and listening in Green Bay on WGBW. When I try to describe the 20-foot storm surge, I say it's like stacking two buses on top of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much. It's a lot of water. It's a lot of water. And so they want NOAA to sell its data and get rid of its data. And my whole contention is that NOAA is the one that produces and tracks the data. So without NOAA, you won't have data.
And it's extremely expensive,
right,
to gather this data. The amount of radar technicians and sensor technicians and people that are hired, they're paid for by our taxes, but the people that they have, the you know, it's a bureaucracy like any other government,
right,
agency. But I worked for the Department of Energy for 5 years. To date, I'm still surprised the lights turn on when I flip the switch. Okay, if I compare that to my friends at the National Weather Service, it's a much better run part of the government than other places they could potentially
make changes.
Yeah. At.
Jack from Merrimack has been waiting on the line. Thank you for your patience, Jack. What did you want to say about this?
Well, first of all, Project 2025 requires that all scientific and regulatory findings have to be in accordance with so-called conservative principles.
Right.
In other words, here's what we want you to find.
Yep.
Now do whatever you have to show it.
Yep.
So whether NOAA's banned it or not, if Trump gets in, the results are predetermined. And as a scientist, this is one of the most frightening things I've ever seen. Secondly, regarding climate change, between NOAA and NASA, They've shown evidence that climate change and weather-related damage has already cost in the neighborhood of $3 trillion, if not more. To say it's too expensive to fight climate change is crazy. And finally, I use this analogy. Ignoring the science of climate change is like ignoring the science of gravity and then stepping off a 10-story balcony.
Not going to end well.
Unfortunately, Jack, there are people out there who are like, is gravity even real? And I wish I was kidding.
It's still a theory.
Yeah.
It's still a theory.
Yeah.
But Jack is absolutely right as far, and it's not just going to be weather. Under Project 2025, any medical developments have to align with the administration's principles. So they're only going to tell you what they want you to hear. That's not a safe way to live. And ignoring what, like Jack said, ignoring the science, what, we're going to stick our fingers in our ears and just go, la, 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 it's all fine. I don't know about it, therefore it doesn't exist.
And there's plenty of private weather companies already. Again, your point that a lot of the data, 99% of it, comes through NOAA. But there's plenty of people that can stick a shingle out, say they're a forecaster, do things. Heck, I built a company out of it, right? And
but you're a meteorologist.
Well, I'm not a degreed meteorologist, but a meteorologist is somebody that forecasts and studies the weather, which I've been doing my entire life. So there are people out there, though, who are meteorologists that aren't better at predicting where a tornado is going to go. And certainly, you know, AccuWeather, they hire a whole lot of people, and they're not all meteorologists, per se. They also have their, obviously, corporate, you're going to do these things. You're going to hype this up. You're going to talk about it this way. And then we're going to try to sell you our direct paid products that are not necessarily produced by the National Weather Service.
I know that companies need, especially when you're talking about the trains in the, earlier, for me as a person, I couldn't imagine saying, you know what, I want to pay for this service. Like, where is this? Like, there's so many places to get accurate, free weather, which I think is kind of a right. You have the right to know about what your environment's going to be like, and someone shouldn't put a paywall in front of that. But I also understand that, you know, some businesses need like deeper knowledge, and I get why they would want to charge for that sort of expertise. But
it's all about access.
Yes,
access
exactly.
To it.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
Like radio and television used to own the market on weather, right? We didn't have apps, and we didn't have this, and we didn't have that. And please make sure you get an app that has some human input into it. It's not just regurgitating those weather models.
Yeah.
But it's all about controlling access to the data. And then, of course, there's whatever other nefarious purposes there might be behind controlling that data. The one thing that I've noticed with climate change, it's not so much just they're still stuck on global warming, like it's warming and all this stuff. What it is it's more storms like a Cat 4 Helene, more time in between, but the storms are worse. That's what I've noticed.
And it keeps happening and happening and happening. Mm-hmm. Corey Hartman is our Civic Media's chief engineer and an all-around wonderful human being who does many, many, many things, doer of things.
Where are
That's you. That's not me.
News is coming up next when we return. There are things on which we agree. I know. It's crazy.
I don't agree with that.
We're going to talk about that next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.